Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Discovering the wonders of the world and of people and places and things, and most of all, discovering the wonder of the Bible, God's Word, and through all these things, discovering the wonder of God. So today we are going to talk about the first boat story in the Bible, which is Noah's Ark. And I also know a lot of other boat stories as well, and songs about boats or connected to boats in some way. So we're going to start off with Noah's Ark, and then I'm going to tell you some stories that come to my mind when I think of boats or of ships. So the story of Noah's Ark. So God had made a beautiful world that was perfect, but Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and then their children turned into a bit of a disaster too, with Cain killing Abel. But anyway, we fast forward to many years later. And yeah, sin has made a big difference to the world. And now there is only one person who loves and listens to God now. And the world, when God looked at the world, it was filled with violence. And God was very grieved with all that he saw. And so he decided, as actions have consequence and as sin has consequence, he decided he wanted to start again with the world that he'd made. He wanted to have a new beginning. But there was one man who still loved and listened to God, and so God spoke to him, and that man's name was Noah. And God told Noah what he was going to do. He said, "I'm going to destroy all that I've made, but I want you to build a big ark or a big ship. And then we will save some of each animal, so all the animals won't be destroyed. And you and your family will be safe if you do what I tell you to do." And so he gave Noah the exact way to build an ark. He gave Noah instructions on how to do it so that it would survive the flood. And Noah believed God. And so because he believed what God said, he obeyed God. And he started to get to work on building an ark that would save him and his family and the animals in the ark. And as he started to start building this boat, people would have seen him and wondered what he was doing. And they would have asked him, "Noah, what are you doing?" And he would have said, "I'm building a boat." And they would say, "Why? Why are you building a boat?" And he said, "Because God is going to destroy this earth. He's going to send a big flood." But those people didn't believe Noah. They thought he was a crazy man. They laughed at him and mocked him and thought he was silly. They did not listen to him. And Noah did his best to warn them. And you know what? If those people had have been sorry for the wrong things that they had done and turned to God, I know that God would have had mercy on them, and that either they could have gone in the ark, or if there had been a lot of them, then I think God would have not sent the flood. But those people would not listen. They had a choice, and they chose their own way, and they chose not to listen. But Noah chose to obey God, and he worked very hard for a very long time on that boat, and his sons helped him. And yeah, all that time, all those years that it took him to build the ark, he warned the people around him, and they all had a chance to turn from their ways and to listen to God. But sadly, none of them did. But finally, Noah finally got his huge big boat finished, and then he had to get the animals in the boat. So for some animals, he needed two of each kind. For some of them, he needed seven of each kind. And so this was just to keep the animals alive, and then when they'd come off the boat, they could, reproduce, and so there would be more animals, they could multiply. And so he got all the animals on the ark. He also had to get enough food to last a very long time. And then once they were all in the boat, God shut the door. So there was one door, and God shut it. Now, up until now, the people outside had a chance. They had time to obey God and to believe God, but they chose not to. But now the door is shut. Time has run out. And you know, we also have time. God gives us time to listen to him and to turn to him. But one day our time will be up, and then it will be too late. So we need to listen to God while we have the time. So now the door's shut and all those people are watching to see what's going to happen. Is it going to rain? Is what God said really going to happen? But for 1 week, it didn't rain. But God had told Noah it's going to be a week before it starts to rain. So I bet those people outside were laughing. You silly man, there's still no rain. But after a week, it did start to rain. And not just raining, but poured with rain and started to flood. And you know, suddenly those people do believe Noah. Suddenly they do want to get in the ark. But now it is too late. And it must have been very sad for Noah and his family because they wanted those people to be saved too. But those people wouldn't listen. And so it rained and poured. And the Bible says like the fountains of the earth opened up as well. And the whole earth started to flood, even the mountains as well. But Noah and his family were safe inside the ark because they listened to God and God keeps his word. You know, God is faithful. That means he does what he said. He does what he says. So that means we can trust his promises, but it also means we need to listen to him and take what he says seriously because he is faithful. So it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but Noah and his family and all the animals were safe inside the ark. But then when it did stop raining, they couldn't get out right away because the earth was still flooded. So they had to wait a very long time for the water to go down. But God sent a big, strong wind, which helped dry up the earth, but it still took a very long time. And after a very long time, Noah sent out a raven to see how dry the ground was yet. And the raven didn't come back. So then he waited a while and he sent out a dove. But the dove couldn't find anywhere to rest, so it came back to Noah, and Noah knew it was not time to get out of the ark yet. So he waited another week and then he sent the dove out. And this time the dove came back with a leaf in its beak. So Noah and his family knew that it was nearly time to get out of the ark. So anyway, when it was dried up, they were able to come out of the ark. And I bet it felt so good to get back on dry land again. And the first thing Noah and his family did when they got out of the ark was to thank God for keeping them safe. So they built an altar and they gave thanks to God for keeping them safe. And then God made another promise. He put a beautiful rainbow in the sky and he said, I will never send a worldwide flood again. And this rainbow is a sign of my promise. Because, you know, after that, Noah and his family might have got a bit scared whenever it started to rain. And they might have thought, oh, is it going to flood again? But then they would look up in the sky and they would see that beautiful rainbow that God had made, and they would know that, no, God said he will not flood the whole world again, and we know that God keeps his promises. So whenever you see a beautiful rainbow in the sky, you can remember that God is faithful, that he means what he says, and that he keeps his promises. And you know what? Jesus is a picture of the ark. Jesus is like the ark. The ark was the safe place. And you know what? We've all done wrong, just like those people in Noah's day. We've all disobeyed God. And our sin needs judgment as well. God is a just God, and that means he punishes sin. But he is also a merciful God. And just like there was a chance for the people in Noah's day, God has given us a chance too. He's made a way to escape his judgment. And that way is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is like that ark. And when we trust in Jesus, then we are safe as well. And then we get God's mercy and God's forgiveness. So that is the story of the first boat in the Bible. Now, there are some good memories I have myself of going on boats. One time, me and my husband went to America. And on the way back, we had a bit of a long stopover in Sydney. And we went whale watching out on a boat. So that was really neat. But my favorite memory of a boat was actually a wedding that I went to. So we had a family friend who was getting married up in Auckland. And he was going to get married out on an island off the harbor. And so all the wedding guests were invited to go for a ride on a catamaran. And so all the wedding guests and the groom were like on the bottom level of the boat. And the bride was up on top with her bridesmaids and flower girls, and we went across to the island, And our friend got married on the island. And I remember my sister played the pan flute as the bride walked down the path. And I played the piano accordion for the hymns that we sung. And then on the way back, we had the wedding reception on the catamaran on the way back to the Auckland Harbour. And that's a really special memory I have on a boat. But, you know, there's some different things we think of when we think of boats. So one thing I think of when I think of boats is the anchor. So the anchor, the sailors would throw the anchor out and it would be attached to the boat. And the anchor would keep the boat from moving around. And you know what? The Bible is like an anchor. The Bible, the promises of God are like an anchor for us. When we trust in them, they keep us secure. They keep us safe. So when you think of an anchor, think of the Bible and how the Bible is like an anchor. But you know what? I've got a song called Jesus Pilots My Ship. And you know, our life is a little bit like a ship. And you know, a ship needs somebody at the wheel. And so who is at the wheel of your life? Who is the one in charge of your life? Do you try to be in charge of your own life? Or do you let God be in charge of your life? So I'm going to sing this song.
The soul of a man is like a ship that sails on the sea of time. The storms may come and the winds may blow and rock this ship of mine. But the reason my ship has never sunk and today it's still afloat.
And there's another story I heard once that I think of when I think of boats. And, you know, with boats, we can have bad storms. And I actually have a friend. Her and her family have been on a boat for the last year and a bit. And they've been on a mercy ship, like a mission trip, traveling around the world, helping people as they go. And they had a very bad storm and they were in danger. But thankfully, God kept them safe and brought them through the storm. But there is a story of a man and his wife, and they were in a really bad storm. And the wife was terrified. And she said to her husband, "I am so scared. I don't think we should have come on this boat." And her husband picked up a knife and he said to her, "Are you scared of this knife?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Well, why not? Why are you not scared of this knife?" And she said, "It's because it's in your hands." You know, she trusted her husband. And so because he was holding the knife, she wasn't afraid. And her husband said to her, "The storm is in God's hands, so we don't need to be afraid either." And you know, when our life is in God's hands, then we're in God's hands. And when we're in God's hands, we're in good hands. So I'm going to sing a song to you called "In God's Hands."
The storms may rage and the winds may blow. The cares of life come against my soul. In troubled times, I know just where to stand. No safer place to be than in God's hands. In God's hands, I'm in good hands. My soul is safe and secure. In God's hands, sweet assurance. It's good to know I'm in God's hands. Sometimes it seems a trial lasts too long. It's scarcely past and I must face another one. But when I've done the very best I can, it's time to leave it in God's hands. In God's hands, I'm in good hands. My soul is safe and secure. In God's hands, sweet assurance. It's good to know I'm in God's hands. It's good to know I'm in God's hands.
One of the most well-known hymns in the whole world is also connected to a ship. So that song is Amazing Grace. So you probably know that song or at least have heard of it, but do you know the story behind it? Do you know the story of the man who wrote Amazing Grace? So John Newton was a slave trader. But first of all, he grew up in a family who his dad was a master of a ship. And his mum was someone who really loved God. And she tried to bring John, his name was John, John Newton, she tried to bring John up to love God. So she would teach him, she would get him to memorize parts of the Bible and teach him songs. But sadly, when he was only about 7, she died. She got sick and she died. So he was left with his father, and his father would take him out on the ships. And so when he got older, he decided he wanted to work on ships as well. But sadly, he got introduced to the slave industry and he became a slave trader. So he made a living by being involved with selling people. But one day, he was in a really, really bad storm. His ship had been in a storm for quite a while and the food and the stuff from the boat, like the cargo, had been washed ashore. And John Newton was trying to steer the ship, but it was so dangerous, he actually tied himself to the helm so he wouldn't be swept overboard himself as he tried to steer this ship. And he did a lot of thinking during this terrible storm. And, you know, he thought back to what his mother had taught him, and he wanted to be like his mother. He wanted to know God and to be forgiven by God, but he didn't know if God could actually forgive him. Could God forgive someone who had done all the bad things that he had done? but he found that God could. And his life was really changed. At first, he kept going with the slave trading for a while, but later on he stopped. And later in his life, he really regretted that he'd ever been involved with it at all. And he actually helped fight against slavery. He helped William Wilberforce fight against slavery. But you know, when he was little, his mum had always dreamed that he may be a pastor or a minister, but then he turned into a slave trader instead. But later on, after his life and his heart had been changed, he did become a minister. So his mum's prayers and dreams for him did come true, but just a long time later. And he really was changed. So he went from being a heartless slave trader, so you can't care very much about people if you would be involved in that. And after he did become a Christian, he did keep doing it for a while, but he treated the slaves a whole lot better. But then later on, he completely gave it up and it was a shame that he had ever, been involved with that. But later on, people said that he was a very tender-hearted man. And if you were telling him your troubles, he would cry with you. He would feel so much for you. He became such a kind man. And that's quite neat how he could turn from being a heartless slave trader to being someone so kind and tender-hearted. But anyway, he wrote this song, Amazing Grace. And he was so amazed that God would forgive him and change his life. And you know, maybe you don't know what the word grace means, but the word mercy means that you're not given what you deserve. So if you've done wrong and you deserve a consequence or a punishment and you're not given that, you've been showed mercy. But grace is something a little bit more than that. Grace is something good that you are given. And so, you know, when you trust in Jesus and you confess your sin to God, you don't just get God's mercy. So you don't just get forgiven, but you get given God's grace. And that means God gives you so many good things. He gives you a home in heaven. He gives you peace. He gives you all the promises of God in the Bible and a relationship with God. And there's many more things as well. So he wrote the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and sneers, I have
And there is another story I think of when I think of ships, and it's also connected to another song. So there was a man a long time ago. He was quite rich and he had 5 children. He had 1 son and 4 daughters. And so he had owned a lot of property. His business was going well. Everything was going well. And then things started to go wrong. First, his 4-year-old son came down with scarlet fever and died very quickly. So that was really devastating for them. They lost their one son. And then about a year later, something else bad happened. There was a terrible fire in Chicago where they lived, and a lot of the man's property that he owned was burnt, and they lost a lot. And so a while after that, I think it was about 2 years later, they decided to go on a holiday. So back then they didn't go on airplanes, they went on boats. And so Mr. Spafford, he had some business to do, so he sent his wife and his four daughters on ahead of him. But on the way, tragically, their boat hit another boat, and that ship or the boat sunk very quickly. And Mr. Spafford's four daughters all drowned. But somehow his wife managed to survive. She was found floating on like a, I don't know, piece of wood or something. And so when she got to where they were going, she sent him a message and she said, I was saved alone. So poor Mr. Spafford, he's already lost his son. He's already lost, you know, like what he owned. And now he's lost all four of his daughters. But thankfully, he still has his wife. So he straight away gets on a boat to go to be with his wife. And the captain came and told him that they were going over the very spot where his daughters had drowned, where the ship had sunk. And Mr. Spafford, at that time, wrote this hymn. And it's called, It Is Well With My Soul. And so even though everything was going wrong in Mr. Spafford's life, he said, It is well with my soul. He meant that everything was right between him and God, and he had peace in his heart because of God. And that's a very special song. And recently I heard somebody else singing the song, and it is a man that I know, and he's very sick with cancer, and he was also singing the song. You know, no matter what we go through, no matter what hard times we go through in life, it is possible to be like this man and to have peace in our heart and to be able to trust God to take care of us. You know, God doesn't keep all bad things from happening to us, but he promises in the Bible that if we love him and if we listen to him, anything bad that happens will be for a good purpose. He'll work it together for good for us. And you know, it's not just for adults, but for children as well. As a little boy who lived down the South Island, I also heard him singing the song when he was very sick with cancer. And he did die, but he knew that he had peace with God and that it was well with his soul. So I'm going to sing you this song.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my Lord thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul.
Bless.
is well, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed these stories about boats. And I hope, like Mr. Spafford, that you may have God's peace in your heart, even when things are not going well, that it may be well with your soul.